Iowa, once again at the center of the race for the White House, President Obama ending a three-day bus tour of the state, newly minted Republican VP pick, Paul Ryan at the Iowa State Fair. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. To what extent is Mitt Romney's selection of Paul Ryan a game changer? How might it affect the vote in swing states, such as Iowa? Our political analyst today, Tim Dale of the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse. He'll tell us more about how Paul Ryan is seen in his home state. Also with us, Stefan Schmidt of Iowa State University. What are your thoughts about the Romney-Ryan ticket? Join our discussion after this news. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's Politics Wednesday here on the program. Iowa, once again at the center of the race for the White House. We've seen this past week President Obama ending a three-day bus tour of the state today in Dubuque. Newly minted Republican VP pick, Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin at the Iowa State Fair earlier this week. To what extent is Mitt Romney's selection of Paul Ryan a game changer, and how might it affect the swing vote states such as Iowa? A couple of the questions we'll be looking at this hour with our political experts in just a moment. We'll have Tim Dale of the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse. He'll tell us more about how Paul Ryan is seen in his home state. Also joining us a little later for the hour, Stefan Schmidt of Iowa State University. We want to hear from you, River to River listeners. What are your thoughts on the Romney-Ryan ticket? Tea Party voters, are you energized by the Ryan pick? What about you, Democrats or independents, undecided voters? Has it swayed your thinking one way or another about who you might choose? 1-866-780-9100, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us for the first few minutes, however, Joyce Berg, director of the Iowa Electronic Markets at the University of Iowa. This is a real-time money futures market operated by the University of Iowa's Tippie College of Business, and the Iowa Electronic Markets gives traders the opportunity to buy and sell contracts based on what they think the outcome of a future event will be, in this case, the election November 6th. Joyce Berg, welcome to our program.
It's great to be here.
What did you measure in your electronic markets after Paul Ryan was announced?
Well, our markets measure who's likely to get the biggest share of the popular vote, and the day that the announcement was made, we didn't see any change in the price, but by Tuesday morning, we saw a drop in the price, about 1 or 2 cents in our market, which translates to about a 5% drop in the price.
For who?
For Romney.
For Romney. So it was, has that held up over the past? You said that was yesterday that you measured that. Has that held up in the last few hours?
It's recovered a little bit. So now the net change is about a penny in the price, which translates to a 1% decrease in the likelihood they would get the most popular vote.
Mm-hmm. Attached to this, do you have any sort of interpretation? How do you read this drop?
You know, I look back at the 2008 election, and we saw the same sort of thing when McCain announced that he was picking Palin.
Mm-hmm.
Not an immediate change, but after a couple of days, a little bit of a downward trend. But in 2008, the big change happened when people started seeing more of Palin, when she mm-hmm. had her first interview, when they started having debates and so forth. And I think that's probably what's going to happen in our prices, too. Right now, there's a little bit of change because people know a little bit about Ryan, but not a huge change because there's still a lot of information to come.
4 years ago, did you measure, though, we had the initial Sarah Palin euphoria when she was announced at the convention. Was there a corresponding rise in her market share or the McCain-Palin ticket?
That didn't show up in our market.
Mm, okay.
And this happens a lot if you compare our markets to polls. After conventions, you'll usually see a big change in poll results, and we see very little change in the IEM prices. Our traders are looking more towards what's going to really happen in Election Day, And they seem to think that this bounce that happens after the convention isn't long-lasting.
Remind us, to those of us who might be hearing about the Iowa electronic markets for the first time and those who need a reminder, how does this work? How is it different than most polls we hear?
Well, think of our market more like a futures market, like corn or soybean futures, except what our traders are looking at is the outcome of the election, not crop yields. It's different than a poll. We don't take a random sample. Mm-hmm. We don't ask people exactly how are you feeling now. They're focused on what do you think is going to happen on election day.
Can this measuring stick be called scientific?
Well, there is a lot of evidence that markets like the U.S. stock market do a pretty good job of measuring value of stocks, and that same theory underlies our market. If we go back and compare one of the markets we run, a vote share market, to polls, we find that our market is usually closer to the actual outcome of the election than polls are.
Mm-hmm. Who are the people buying and selling these contracts?
Well, we have a large variety of traders. Anybody anywhere in the world can open an account on the IEM. It is a real money account, so people invest from $5 to $500. We have traders that follow politics really closely. We have traders that are just interested in the way markets work. We have a lot of traders that are just students. So a big variety of traders.
Perhaps traders trying to influence the price share.
You know, we have people that try to do that sometimes, and it doesn't seem to be long-lasting. So every once in a while, you'll see a price move in one of our markets that immediately recovers or recovers in a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a person trying to influence the market. It could also be a person that doesn't understand how markets work, and they got bid and ask confused. But those, again, those things don't seem to be long-lasting. And they're actually pretty easy to detect in our markets because we have two contracts that should move in opposite directions. When Romney's price decreases, Obama's price should increase. And if traders go in and try to influence just one of those contracts, you'll see a change in one contract but not the other.
Okay. Joyce Berg, thank you for joining us, Director of Iowa Electronic Markets at the University of Iowa's Tippey College of Business. We will certainly check in with you multiple times, at least once or twice more before the election. For now, Joyce Berg, thank you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
This is Politics Day on River to River. Join our discussion. What questions do you have about Representative Paul Ryan? What kind of policies he represents? What are your thoughts on the Romney-Ryan ticket? 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. Now joining us for the remainder of the hour, Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse. Tim has been with us once before. Thank you for joining us again, Tim.
Thank you for having me.
Stefan Schmidt, an old hand on our show. Old and wise is what I mean to say, of course. Political Science Professor at Iowa State University at our studio in Ames. Stefan, nice to have you back on.
Great to be on, Ben.
Let's go to Tim first, if we could. Sitting in Wisconsin, what's your perspective on having Paul Ryan tapped for the GOP ticket?
Well, it was a little bit of a surprise. Most political observers thought Romney might pick a safer pick, maybe Portman from Ohio or Rubio from Florida. I think we were a little bit surprised in Wisconsin that Ryan was picked. But I think overall, and this may get to a follow-up set of questions that we're going to have throughout the hour, but I think that in the state of Wisconsin, Ryan isn't any better known than in the rest of the country outside of his home district. So people know he's from Wisconsin, but he's made a name for himself in a lot of policy debate, particularly economic policy recently. And I think the overall perception, positive, negative feelings about Ryan are probably reflective in Wisconsin of the overall national mood. So I think this pick for Romney wasn't really a strategic decision going by a state strategy.
Right.
I think it was more of a broad pick to really focus on a set of policy arguments.
So you're saying people, Wisconsinites outside of Wisconsin's first district, which he has represented for many years, these other people in the other districts in Wisconsin need to be convinced as much as any district in Iowa.
That's absolutely true. And Ryan is very popular in the 1st District. And what's interesting about that is that the 1st District, representing southeastern Wisconsin, has been considered a swing district, where it could be considered more moderate to right-leaning. And that's anything but as far as Ryan is concerned. And he is very popular in his district. So I think it definitely bolsters Romney in southeastern Wisconsin. But as far as the rest of the voters go, you're right. I think that they are really going to have to hear the policy debate that's going to ensue.
Stefan Schmidt, you write in your blog post about this pick for the Des Moines Register, quote, in campaign AR after Ryan, the judo has changed dramatically and surprisingly. Explain, what do you think of this pick?
Well, there are a couple of things. One is that Romney now cannot continue to just have some general bromides about the economy and growing the economy and shrinking government. He now essentially is welded and wedded to a very specific program, which is the Ryan budget plan, which has a lot of interesting, but in some cases, pretty controversial components to it. And Romney is trying to distance himself from it by saying, well, the Ryan plan is kind of very similar to me, but that's not what my campaign is based on. That's going to be hard to do. And that, I think, changes the dynamic, because now Romney is going to have to defend the Ryan plan. And already we're seeing eruptions happening, especially on the issue, for example, of Medicare in places like Florida and Iowa, which have many, many elderly voters who vote in large numbers and who like Medicare and don't want it to be privatized. So that's changed the whole dynamic. And I think the point that came up earlier also is that now there is a sort of exciting, electrifying, young, very handsome, candidate running with Mitt Romney, who has been, he's handsome, but he's been very cautious. And I think it does have that sort of Sarah Palin effect on the base of the party. I think the Tea Party finally maybe get excited about the Romney presidential bid because they were not excited about Romney, but I think they're going to get excited about Ryan.
Okay, let's hear the voice of the person everybody that you're describing is excited about. On Monday, his first solo appearance since being chosen as Romney's VP pick, Congressman Paul Ryan, spoke at the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines.
We owe you a choice. You are our fellow citizens. And what we want to do is give you the choice so you can decide what kind of country you want to have. What kind of people do you want us to be? We want America to be that land of the free, that opportunity society with the safety net, a society of upward mobility, a society of people reaching their potential, a society of people making the most of their lives. We don't want to follow Europe. We don't want a welfare state. We don't want a debt crisis. We don't want to prolong this recession. We don't want to keep this path of household incomes going down $4,000. We want to turn this thing around.
Paul Ryan speaking at the Iowa State Fair on Monday. Of course, you hear in the background, much reported in the media, hecklers at the Iowa State Fair. A tweet from Joel, what about moderate Republicans? Just because Paul Ryan is the Tea Party favorite doesn't mean he's here for all of us. Stefan, tell us about Paul Ryan's effect on Iowa as a swing state and its voters.
Well, I mean, I think your tweeter is absolutely right in the sense that you will remember Mitt Romney was probably one of the least favorite candidates of all the ones running in Iowa, except that the conservative candidates divided the conservative base of the party. So they split Iowa conservatives for the Iowa caucuses among too many conservatives. And so by sort of default, Romney ended up kind of at the top, pretty much tying for first place. But the discussion was always that, conservatives, really hardcore conservatives, didn't like Romney very much. But having been governor of Massachusetts and being able to get along with the Democratic legislature there and having passed Romney Care in Massachusetts and so on, Romney probably could attract independent voters and was more moderate than the sizzling hot conservative Tea Party candidates who were presenting themselves. And the idea was that he would be able to therefore build that majority in November that either party needs to win, and that is independence. And so by adding Ryan now to the mix, there is some question as to whether more moderate Republicans in a state like Iowa, all three of them, will vote for the Republican ticket with greater or lesser enthusiasm, and whether independents in Iowa, who are a very significant plurality, will now back off some because the Ryan plan is you know, it cuts taxes for the wealthy and so on, and therefore may not connect as well with no party voters.
Undecided voters, independent voters. Yeah. Has this pick swayed your thinking one way or another about who you might choose when it comes November 6th? 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to our first caller. Bill is in Des Moines. Hi, Bill. What's your thinking on this?
Well, my thinking is that I am a Ron Paul supporter, and this pick for VP may just mend fences between the Romney camp and the Ron Paul camp, because Ryan has some libertarian leanings in his approach to economics.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, interesting, Bill. Let's get reaction. Let's go to Tim Dale in Wisconsin. Do you see that, Tim?
Well, I think that your caller indicates one of the things that I think the Romney campaign is hoping they accomplished with this pick. A vice presidential pick can accomplish a number of things, although there is debate among political scientists how much it can accomplish. But you can go the state strategy, pick up states that are the home state of the candidate. You could go for a particular set of policy issues. Obama picked Biden in part because of his foreign policy experience. And in this case, I think what the pick of Ryan indicates is that the Romney campaign was very concerned that there were Republicans and maybe even people who are marginally Republicans like Ron Paul supporters who were not yet convinced that they should vote for Mitt Romney. And their worst fear will come true in November if these people decided not to vote in the presidential election. It's unlikely that these people would vote for Obama, although there may be some who are willing to vote for Obama. But I think the pick of Ryan shows that the Romney campaign is very concerned about their base support and the enthusiasm of that base. And so I think, the Sarah Palin pick notwithstanding, we have seen this situation before where the vice president is picked, vice presidential candidate is picked not because of any particular state affiliation, but because that person brings a kind of policy focus that is appealing to the base.
Stephen Schmidt, what about that? Were Ron Paul supporters going to vote for Romney anyway or stay at home?
Well, a lot of them are leveraging their tremendous showing in many of the caucuses and primaries at the national convention. So I think they're going to try to influence that. And I think the caller is probably right that, Ryan has some additional libertarian sort of trends in there of cutting government and cutting taxes and privatizing and so on, especially privatizing Medicare by essentially giving vouchers to people instead of providing the actual coverage. But on the other hand, you've got to remember that out of the box, Ryan has the lowest approval rate of any vice presidential pick since Dan Quayle. Sarah Palin got better marks. All the others had much better marks, and so that's not a good sign. I mean, you know, his approval rating in the polls that came out right after he was announced were very poor compared to other vice presidential nominees.
That being said, there are polls that show that most people don't know a lot about Paul Ryan. Isn't that true, Stephen? So it's like a coloring book, and you've only got a small corner of the figure colored in, and the two campaigns are racing to put their respective colors on him, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, and that's what it's all about. But on the other hand, the more people got to color in Sarah Palin, as you know, the lower her numbers got. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that, trying to sell Paul Ryan to independents, especially with a very clear conservative and lean kind of tax and federal budget proposal, that the coloring in is going to be done by the Democrats as much as the Republicans. And in my blog in the Des Moines Register, and I'm doing one for WNYC in New York that deals with negative campaigning for today's blog, I point out that, you know, you you know, the Democrats have come out of the chute with some brutal and tremendous attacks, scaring the elderly, you know, that Medicare is going to disappear if Romney and Ryan get elected, even though the Ryan plan doesn't propose any changes in Medicare until for the next generation, not for this generation. But already you can see the Democrats also with their pen, with their color pencils out, coloring in the portrait of Ryan.
Let's go to a caller before we have to take a break. Scott is joining us from Des Moines. Hi, Scott. How has this affected your thinking? What are your thoughts? Scott, are you there? Can you hear me? Okay. Scott, not there?
I think he's still... Hello?
Hello, Scott. Now we can hear you. Give it a try.
I kind of think it's a little too extreme for my taste.
Were you a Romney supporter before this pick?
No, to be quite honest, I was going to make a statement vote for Jill Stein.
Okay. Okay, good. Bad connection there, Scott. We'll let you go there from Des Moines. Before we do go, Tim Dale, tell us, what has this done to Wisconsin? Wisconsin, one of the several swing states, including Iowa. Has this changed anything, the Ryan pick?
Well, I think one of the things that we've seen in Wisconsin recently, we've made national news, of course, with a recall election of our Republican Governor Scott Walker, who won the recall election. We had Russ Feingold lose his Senate seat to Ron Johnson, Tea Party Republican. And there is some thinking and some commentators who have suggested that Wisconsin may be shifting toward a red state. But what I think if we look at the history, even especially recent history in Wisconsin electoral politics, we see the willingness to vote for Republicans at the local and state level, but definitely a consistent vote for Democrats at the national level. And I think the conversation we're having about entitlement reform is going to be very important in Wisconsin. And one of the reasons people in Wisconsin are willing to vote Democrat nationally is because of this entitlement debate. They want a certain kind of politics and policy at the state level, but they have particular questions about candidates at the national level. And I think that's where the policy focus of the Ryan pick is what's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. So Wisconsin at this point, though, in the toss-up column, or is it tending to be one party or the other?
Well, it'll be interesting to see where we go after the Ryan pick. But so far, Obama has enjoyed enough of a margin that Wisconsin is definitely a lean Democrat state in the presidential race. This is, I think, one of the things that the Romney camp might think that they can shift, or they see a possibility to shift. We just haven't seen that trend. And so I'm not sure that the Ryan pick is going to be enough to get Wisconsin in the Romney column unless some significant changes happen at the national level.
Tim Dale with us, assistant professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, joining us today from La Crosse to give us the perspective from our neighbor to the northeast. Stefan Schmidt, political science professor at Iowa State University, with us when we return as well. Questions you have about Representative Ryan, what kind of policies he represents. What do you think about this pick, Romney's pick for the ticket? 1-866-780-9100. River to river at iowapublicradio.org. Our email, tweet us at IPRTalk. We're also on Facebook. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Democratic reaction. Also, President Obama in the midst of a 3-day bus tour through Iowa. 3 days devoted to Iowa and its little old at 6 electoral votes. We'll ask why that's the case when we come back. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're so happy to have you with us over the noon hour here on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow on this program, how digital technology is revamping the way today's students learn. That as our students head back to the classroom, a summer, hard to believe, coming to a close. Today, Politics Day, Tim Dale with us, assistant professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse. Stefan Schmidt, political science professor at Iowa State University. Picking over the last week's developments, of course, Representative Paul Ryan being picked by Mitt Romney as his running mate. That's the big news. Also, President Obama in Iowa. We want to hear your thoughts about this pick of Representative Ryan. undecided voters? Has it swayed your way of thinking about who you might choose? 1-866-780-9100. Also, questions we can put to Tim Dale. Do you have specific questions about Representative Ryan and his policies? 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. President Obama winding up a three-day bus tour through Iowa. He spoke in Waterloo last night talking about Mitt Romney's VP pick of Paul Ryan.
He is the ideological leader. He's the ideological leader of the Republicans in Congress. And he's an articulate spokesperson for Governor Romney's vision. The problem is, his vision is wrong. See, my opponent, Governor Romney, and his friends in Congress, they believe, this is their whole platform, this is their basic plan. As much detail as you get, this is what you get. Their plan to grow the economy is to eliminate regulations, including on big banks and insurance companies, some of the regulations we put in place to make sure, for example, that we don't have another taxpayer-funded bailout. So he wants to get rid of regulations, and then what he wants to do is give more tax breaks to the wealthiest Americans. And the idea then is that jobs and prosperity will trickle down on everybody. That's the centerpiece of his plan.
President Obama last night in Waterloo. Stephen Schmidt, why 3 days in Iowa, a swing state with only 6 electoral votes?
I have never in 42 years that I've been at Iowa State and looked at presidential campaigns, seen a sitting president campaign for 3 days in Iowa. And it tells you that this is so crucial that the states that are the battleground states, and they're really the only states where any campaigning is taking place, almost all of the $1 billion that each of the two presidential campaigns is spending is being expended in these states, they're very crucial. And I think the Obama campaign knows that he got his start in Iowa. He did very well in 2008 when he got elected. And, you know, he feels that he can maybe gig up his support in Iowa, which has been drifting more towards more Republican and more conservative, frankly. It just shows you how crucial these battleground states are.
Iowa, one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country, though, of course, suffering now the farm economy being hurt by the drought. But if it's all about the economy and we have one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country, why don't polls show President Obama comfortably ahead in this state?
It's not all about the economy. It's also about social issues. It's also about fear of the future. It's also about huge budget deficits and leaving an enormous, basically, national debt burden to the future generation. So it's about a lot of other things, I think, besides the fact that Iowa is better off than other states. That doesn't necessarily cut it.
Mm-hmm. Looking from Wisconsin, what's your perspective, Tim Dale, about the president spending so much time in Iowa?
Well, I think, looking at the electoral map, we might find it strange that candidates spend so much time in states with relatively fewer electoral votes. But the way that the Electoral College works and the way that elections work in America is that there are a set of states that, even though they have very large numbers of votes, maybe 10 times that of Iowa, nearly 10 times, they aren't going to be as significant in the election. I think that the measure of how important a state is might be something more like the tipping point measure, which is the measure of how likely a state will be to cast the decisive electoral vote. And there's a grouping of states in this category, kind of the top 10, where if you take the likelihood that their electoral vote will be the one that puts the candidate over the edge, Iowa's actually in the top 10. I think it's ranked around 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin moved up a few spots. I think we're even at number 4 right now. But I think that we will expect to see a lot of these candidates in Wisconsin and Iowa over the next couple of months because it is very important for their campaigns to pick up in the case of Romney, to pick up, in the case of Obama, to keep these key tipping point states.
Join our conversation about the pick of Representative Paul Ryan to head along with Mitt Romney, the ticket for the White House for the Republican Party. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. When we look at the battleground states, also not mentioned there, crucially, Florida, 29 electoral votes, Ohio, 18, Virginia, 13, Wisconsin, you mentioned, 10, Colorado, 9, Iowa, 6, Nevada, New Hampshire. Do you see this pick affecting any of those battleground states in particular, Stephen Schmidt?
Well, I mentioned Florida, which is a state that is crucial. We know what happened with, Bush v. Gore. The Democrats would dearly like to have Florida in their column, and the Republicans also. And the whole issue of Medicare is a huge issue in Florida. And the Democrats are immediately, as soon as Ryan was named, launched a massive essentially mobilization of older voters, telling them that, that this was a very risky thing and that they should definitely consider not voting for the Republicans and that they need to protect Medicare. So in a state like Florida, that is going to have a huge effect. In Iowa, I think one of the issues that has been underestimated is the fact that the Romney-Ryan team is opposed to continue tax breaks for wind power. And wind power has been an incredibly successful piece of Iowa's economic prosperity and job creation. There are 6,000-7,000 jobs in Iowa mm-hmm. now related to wind power and wind energy. And the fact that the Republicans are not all Republicans, because Senator Grassley is trying to keep that tax break for wind energy. That could have an effect, ripple effect throughout some parts of the
Iowa.
Is
it true all 7 of Iowa's congressional delegation in favor of continuing that tax credit? So it puts the Republicans in that delegation in a position that's, how would you describe that, Steph?
A little
tricky to explain.
That's like being against farm subsidies in Iowa.
Okay. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Let's talk. You mentioned, in fact, reading in Politico today concerning Medicare, the House Speaker John Boehner evidently held yesterday evening a conference conference call aimed at soothing some jittery Republican members. So this is a very real concern in the minds of many GOP strategists. Tim Dale.
Yeah, and something that Stephen mentioned earlier that I think is right on target is that Paul Ryan and the Republicans have a lot of work to do to win the argument that they're making about entitlement reform. And what I think is interesting is the rhetorical and policy debate about the entitlement reform and government spending, more work is going to have to be done on the Republican side than the Democratic side to convince people. So in recent memory, the Democrats are the ones who spent a long time trying to convince, they have tended to have had long-winded explanations for things. We remember Al Gore and George W. Bush, where Al Gore is going into detail about Social Security, and all Bush has to do is raise an eyebrow, and the audience thinks that George W. Bush wins. And I think that we're going to see kind of the opposite thing happening, where Paul Ryan is probably as smart as they come in terms of just plain argument goes, sitting around a table having a conversation about government spending. But the argument gets very complicated, and just it's a demonstration of the complication. In Wisconsin, Tommy Thompson picked up the nomination for the Senate last night to run against Tammy Baldwin for our open Senate seat. And Republican special interest groups have been running all these ads against Tammy Baldwin that she's putting Medicare at risk with some of her spending policies. And so it's been a lot of scare tactics about why it is that government spending is putting Medicare at risk. If they're having that message on the Senate campaign, but then people turn around and get scared when it comes to Paul Ryan and Medicare and see that story as more scary than a Senate candidate, there's a lot of work that the Republicans are going to have to do to bring this message together and really coalesce around a narrative. I'm just not sure that with the scare tactics and 30-second sound bites that we see in a campaign that the Republicans are going to be able to do this.
Tim Dale, assistant professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse, joining us this hour. Stephen Schmidt. Schmidt of Iowa State University. Let's go back to the phone, see how many calls we can get to. First to Cheryl in Toddville. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I have two concerns with the Paul Ryan choice. My first concern is the fact that he also is not going to release any tax, his income tax forms more than 2 years. With Romney not doing it and him not doing it, I had to personally supply more than that to get a home loan. That's a problem for me. It's a matter of trust. I've been burnt so many times with politicians, I'm not sure I can trust them anymore. That's one. The other item is foreign policy experience. I really expect Romney, and I'm a Republican registered voter, I really expected Romney to be someone that had more foreign experience gravitas.
Okay, two interesting points, Cheryl. Stefan, can I turn to you for the tax return? We had, up until this VP announcement, the question of Romney's past tax returns figured into a great deal of the media coverage, perhaps also to some of the negative numbers in the polls for Romney. Will that continue to plague him for the remaining 12 weeks of the campaign?
Well, absolutely, because the narrative that the Democrats are spinning is, in fact, what the Republicans call class warfare. And it is, you know, that the Republicans want in the Ryan plan and the Romney plan to cut taxes for the wealthiest Americans even more, that they are shifting the burden to the middle class and the working class, that they're eliminating a lot of the safety net or weakening it, such as Social Security. And you know, the problem is that if somebody said, you know, you should stop beating your dog, you have to prove that you haven't been beating your dog. And if somebody says Romney hasn't paid any taxes in those 10 years that he isn't releasing his tax returns, that is the story that sticks until Mitt Romney can prove that he has paid taxes in those years. And Romney is refusing to do that, which means in the public mind, there's something that he doesn't want to reveal, whether it's as bad as not having paid any taxes or whether he's got very odd and strange deductions and accounts in, you know, Uzbekistan and other places that we haven't even heard of yet. Nobody knows. But it is a huge problem, because the Democrats are going to keep hitting on that, and most Americans don't trust politicians as far as they can throw a car. And if somebody doesn't want transparency in their taxes, it raises suspicions, and Romney's going to have to deal with that until the day that the election takes place.
Tim Dale, quickly, we want to move on to other callers, but Paul Ryan on 60 Minutes, he said the issue of releasing tax returns is a distraction. Do you think that will get traction, just to say it is a distraction, we don't need to talk about this anymore?
Right. Well, I think Stefan is right that it's a distraction, but it's a distraction that works. So if the best way to stop people from talking about tax returns is to release the tax returns, you know, the easiest way to stop people talking about Barack Obama's birth certificate is to release the birth certificate. So it is a distraction, but in this case, it connects to a deeper narrative about Romney and Romney's policies that I think is significant, which is that this idea that the policies that Romney Ryan is promoting are good for wealthy people and not good for the middle class. So I think that these are the kinds of things, even if it's a distraction, that Romney Ryan is going to have to deal with, because it will be persistent. And if they think the campaign is negative now, if they think the ads are negative now, wait till we get to October. And so I, the only thing I can guess right now is that they're going to wait until they get that negative, and then they're going to respond. But the strategy up to this point on the tax return thing, it seems mysterious even to a lot of Republican observers.
Okay, let's go to Robert in Davenport as our hour gets away from us. Robert, you can hitch your trailer right onto that remark about the nastiness of the campaign so far, and perhaps getting even nastier, aren't you?
Yes, I guess it does fit right in there. As I was looking at the advertisements are going out, the current candidates, especially the Republicans, seem to be portraying themselves as quite available and open to the American public, and then to portraying the current administration as not having done anything positive, as a matter of fact, making things worse. So I have an issue of trust with them, because we all know that that's not the point, that that's not the case. My concern as well, based on the last statements, is that we're more concerned with process than we are with the truth of the elements. and therefore we're not getting information that we need from the candidate Romney.
Mm. Robert, thank you for those remarks from Davenport. What about when a campaign ramps up to this degree of negative campaigns? What does the electorate do when we see a Romney campaign, when we see an Obama campaign, and we know would have to dig down to find out the truth of these various claims? How do we treat that? How is that seen? Tim Dale?
Well, I think kind of the surface answer has to start with the observation that people respond much easier and more quickly to negative ads and attacks than they do positive ones. They're more memorable. They stick with us when we'd be going to the ballot box. And it turns out that negative ads are more intended to suppress the turnout for your opponent than they are to build the turnout for oneself. So I think that in both cases, there's a real hope that there's going to be an enthusiasm gap. And I think that the result in November is going to have to do with whether or not Obama supporters are excited enough to want a second term actively, or whether or not Republicans really want to turn out. And I think that the question about the negative ads is going to be important, because there is that question of fact-checking and truth-checking, but then also the question of negativity. And if right now we heard the clip from Romney earlier in the hour where he was saying that the president is sinking to new lows, but of course that has to resonate with people. That has to somehow affect their perception of Obama. But if those negative attacks are perceived to be somewhat accurate, that is, if Romney continues to not release taxes or there are questions about his past, then I think that those negative attacks aren't really quote-unquote negative attacks. They're effective attacks. And I think the negativity really only comes in when you have people perceiving that there are unnecessary attacks that are going on that are distracting from issues, as opposed to focusing on the issues that are important to people.
Let's try to squeeze in Jason from Des Moines. Hi, Jason. Thanks for waiting on the line. What's on your mind? Not much time left.
Hey, no problem. Anecdotally, it seems like among my Republican friends, the real liability for Romney is still his religion. And I wondered, I'm going to split my question then for Tim and Stefan. Tim, is that the case up in Wisconsin? Stefan, is that something that played into the Ryan selection?
Okay, the fact that Mitt Romney is a Mormon, did that figure in here, Tim Dale?
Well, I think that that's a very interesting question, and I think the jury is still out on that one. I think that there are conversations going on, particularly among the Christian or evangelical base in the Republican Party, about how they can bring themselves or wed themselves to the idea, but I think that these discussions are happening behind closed doors or maybe not even happening at all yet. But I think it is going to be part of the dialogue in the country at some point. We're going to have a few news cycles in which we're talking about religion and this presidential campaign.
Dave on our Facebook page says that changes have to be made, and Romney and Paul are the adults in the room waiting for the other side to grow up and come to the table to fix things for the next generation. Dave, thank you for that comment on our Facebook page. A few other things to have you comment on quickly before we have to say goodbye. Stefan Schmidt, what do you see in the news that New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will be delivering the keynote at the GOP convention, and former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, the bombshell, the game changer 4 years ago, will not be speaking?
Well, it tells you a lot, doesn't it, about what the Republicans are calculating. I think especially what the Romney campaign is calculating as the positive image. And, of course, a lot of Republicans wish that Christie, not Romney, had emerged from this whole process as the presidential candidate. And it does reveal a lot about how the GOP is trying to essentially reach out to independents, which I think is where Chris Christie fits into the picture.
Mm. And to finish up our hour, Tim Dale, what will you be looking for in the next few weeks? What will you be looking for on the political landscape that will tell you something about how this campaign will develop?
Yeah, well, since we're this is the week of the Paul Ryan discussion, Paul Ryan has not run for statewide office in Wisconsin, let alone a national office. And I think the first couple of weeks, once we find out about a national candidate, particularly one who wasn't there, obviously, on the campaign trail in the primary, is how is this person in a national campaign? What does it look like? We saw Sarah Palin break down in these key moments in these interviews. The indications are that Ryan can definitely handle it. I think Republicans are looking to Ryan as a potential future star in the party, regardless of what happens in this election. And I think a lot of eyes are going to be on him to see if he steps up to the plate and is able to run a national campaign, because we haven't seen that from him before.
Stephen Schmidt, the final 30 seconds for you, please.
These polls that are taken on futures markets, such as the one at the University of Iowa, or InTrade, which is a huge Irish one, are so accurate that last presidential election, I won the prize for predicting the Electoral College, missed it only by one vote by looking at InTrade. Very accurate.
So, your prediction?
I'm going to wait until InTrade tells me what it looks like. a week before the election, you'll know.
Okay, we'll take you up on that. Stephen Schmidt, political science professor at Iowa State University. Tim Dale of the University of Wisconsin at La Crosse. Tim and Stephen, what a pleasure to have you this hour. Thank you.
Thank you.
River to River is produced by Alex Hoyer and Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Emily Woodbury. Technical support from Dennis Reese. In Ames, help from Jason Burns. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. Our theme music written and performed by the River Monks. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.